بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Can all of you hear? Can all of you hear? Is the voice okay? If you can hear, if you can just please type in the chat box. All right, all of you can hear. All right, for those who are not able to hear, they can sign out and they can sign in again. الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Every human being and every ideology, they have a concept of death. And in the deen of Islam, that the concept is very simple and very beautiful, that it's an opportunity to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dunya is preparing for us. It's a preparation time that a person uses to prepare for their meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hereafter, in the akhirah, a person will eventually be blessed with that vision, with that royat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why one of the very famous du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ajib du'a, that Allahumma inni as'aluka shawkan ila liqa'ik, that oh Allah, I ask you to grant me that shawk of meeting you. And walazzatan nazri ila wajhikal kareem, and I ask you for the lazzat, the desire of being able to look at your noble face. So when a person loves some being, then a person wants to meet their beloved. And that's natural. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he was overcome by this state. And he said that, oh Allah, I want to see you. Make yourself visible to me so that I can gaze upon you. So a lover, they cannot stand, they cannot survive without gazing, without looking at their beloved, without meeting their beloved. And that's why another poet said that, oh Allah, I made thousands of sajdas, hoping one day just to be able to get a glimpse of your majesty and your grandeur. So this is why a believer exists on this planet, because one day we will leave this planet and then we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meet our beloved. And that's why a believer, they love death. And that's what the Sahabi used to say while going to war, that I have such people with me who love dying as much as your people love living. So we are here actually to die a good death, not to live alone, not to live a good life. Rather, the goal is to die a good death so that ultimately we can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that Allah is pleased with us. And the reason is that why would they like death? And the Prophet ﷺ explained this, that al-mautu, the death is like a bridge that unites the lover with the beloved. So death is but a bridge that brings one friend to his other friend. It's a bridge that unites a lover to the beloved. And because death is a means of bringing the lover to their beloved, that's why they used to love death. Once there was a Sheikh al-Hadith who wrote that once a person saw death coming, and when they saw the angel of death was coming, they said, "Oh, I'm so happy that you're finally here. I've been waiting for you for 20 years." That's how much they would yearn to pass on out of this world and then meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When death was about to come to Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, he began to say, "This is very good that death is about to come, because tomorrow I'll be together with the companions of my Prophet and the Prophet himself." So death was a means of meeting, and that's why the early true believers were fond of death. They liked death. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, once the angel of death came to him and said that, "O beloved Khalilullah, the messenger of Allah, the friend of Allah, Allah has remembered you." So Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam replied that, "Have you ever seen a friend who snatches the soul of his friend? Remember that his name was Khalil, that he was a friend of Allah." So the angel went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and said that this is what Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said. And Allah said that, "Go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam and ask him that, have you ever seen a friend who refuses to come and meet his friend?" So when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he heard that message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the angel of death, he understood that taking up my ruh would be my means to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he said to the angel of death that, "Ajjal, ajjal, hurry, hurry, take my ruh so that I can quickly meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when a person leaves this world, when a believer leaves this world, to get this special blessing of being able to get the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet ﷺ said So the Prophet ﷺ said that the heart of the believer is so fed up with this dunya, with this world of deception, that the heart is always thinking about the akhirah. Their heart is always inclined about the akhirah, and therefore they're anticipating death even before the death overcomes them. And that's another way of looking at life. So when a person passes away, Allah calls that person to meet him. And how does this happen? So subhanAllah, the beginning is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an invitation card for that meeting. On the Day of Judgment, there is an invitation card that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran, Allah says, "Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam," that Allah invites you to the home of peace and guides whom He wills to that straight path. That Allah is inviting us to that abode of Jannah, to that abode of peace. Allah is inviting us to enter into Jannah. So through the hands of the Prophet ﷺ, Allah sent an invitation card to us, invitation card to attend Jannah. Just like when we have an event, we send invitation cards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also sent an invitation card. Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam. Allah is inviting us towards that abode of Jannah. And then what kind of place this Jannah is? So for example, we invite people to an event at a 5-star hotel, or a 7-star hotel, or a marriage hall. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you ask that, "Where have you decided to hold this meeting?" And Allah says that just like you decorate your homes in honor of your guest, I have decorated Jannah in honor of my believers, whom I have invited there. And how have I decorated my Jannah? that it is such majesty and beauty that no eye has ever seen the likeness of that beauty. No ear has ever heard the likeness of the sweet sounds of Jannah. No human heart can even imagine such a beautiful place. However much you try to imagine it, that it's this beautiful, it's that beautiful, it's this amazing, it's that wondrous. Allah says, O my servants, your imagination will fall short. And the wonders of my Jannah, they're far, far, far above anything that you can imagine. So they said that Allah, this place that you have set up, what have you put there for the believers? And Allah says that nobody knows the things that I put there for the coolness of the eyes of his residents. Those people who are inside Jannah, nobody knows. Allah is saying nobody knows the things that I put there inside Jannah. That will be the coolness of the eyes of the residents of Jannah. Just come, just accept my invitation. Just make this effort, the struggle to become worthy of entrance. Once you enter, then you will see what type of amazing things I've prepared for you. So Allah says that over there, even if we make it there, a person asks, right? So you can imagine the person is asking. Look at the invitation that a person might say to Allah, that Allah, if you've made this, what will happen to me there? How will we spend our time? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, that walakum fiha ma tashtahi anfusakum. That, oh my servants, just come. You will have each and everything that your heart desires. You will pass the time in whatever way you want. Whatever your heart desires would fulfill your every wish, every want, every desire. So what type of a host in this world can do that? Look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hosting us in Jannah, inviting us in such a loving and an affectionate way. Allah says that whatever you want, anything that you want will give you exactly what you want, exactly the way you want it. Don't you remember that in this world you fulfill my wishes? In that world, you fulfill my wishes. Now in this world, I'm going to fulfill your wishes. This is a wish fulfillment. Whatever you want, you will get it. Then we might ask another question, that, oh Allah, if this Jannah is so exalted, then tell us the way to get there. Tell us how we can reach that place. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this very important ayat in the Quran, which we recited at the beginning. Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. That any person who is desirous of meeting their Lord, they want to do mulaqat with their Rabb. لِقَاءُ رَبِّهِ then فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا then they should do amal salih. They should do righteous deeds, bring good deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِقْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا and they should not associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not associate anyone with Allah in His love and the worship of Allah and in the love for Allah. Don't have any partners. Just love Allah fully. One and only. Have a desire for Allah, one and only. Love for Allah, one and only. Allah, don't associate any partners in the worship and in the love for Allah. So Allah is saying that, oh my servants, if you want to meet me, just you have to do these two things. These are two fundamental things Allah mentions in this ayah. Number one is that you should send me gifts of a'mal, gifts of good actions. Just like in this world, the lover sends gifts to his beloved before they meet. Just like that, we should also send the gifts of our worship, our obedience, our righteous deeds, our pious actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'malu salih. These a'malu salih, if you gift wrap them for me with muhabbat, then I will accept it with as much happiness as the way in which the beloved accepts the gift from the lover. So that's number one, that you should pray salah with love, read Quran with love, go and feed some poor people with love. Allah says in Quran, any good act, وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ they give food, sadaqah, khairat, عَلَى حُبِّهِ on the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you send these actions to me, I will increase your level of Jannah. The more and more of these gifts of pious actions that you send, Allah will increase your level. And the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised was that you send me your love, and then number two, don't let anything else come into your heart. Do not commit any type of shirk. I'm very possessive. Allah is like, we say that Allah does not accept roommates. Allah has given us just one heart for the love for Allah Himself. There is full occupancy in our heart. No space, no vacancy. Allah says, I will not tolerate that you have any love for any being except me, that you do any type of shirk. So Allah says two things. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, that whoever wishes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, then فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, they should bring to Allah the gifts of amalu salih, righteous deeds. وَلَا يُشْرِقْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and they should not associate Allah with anything with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything, any ideology, any being, any concept. So these two things, if you bring, the doors of Jannah will be cast open to you. So then a person might say that, oh Allah, if we do these two things, then when we go into Jannah, what will we do then? What will happen when we enter into Jannah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outlines the whole sequence of different types of things that will happen when a person enters into Jannah. Subhanallah, even before a person enters into Jannah, Allah says that when you leave this life, so first thing that will happen, in Hadith, the Prophet said that when a person reaches their grave, Allah will first welcome them with angels. And Allah will say to the angels that this is my servant who is very tired from the dunya. He led a life, a lot of mujahidah and struggle. He used to stay awake at night for my ibadah. And he tired himself for my sake in the dunya. So when he reaches now his grave, Allah says that this is my tired servant. And say to him, Num ka naumatil urus. Urus means the bride. Num. That sleep like the sleep of a bride. Sleep in the way a bride sleeps. And the Muhaddithin, they have said that there are so many different ways Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said that. That sleep, a very good sleep, a good night's sleep, or sleep with peace and contentment. But why is this mentioned, that sleep like a bride? And they have then given the answer that the secret is that because when the bride sleeps, she knows that she will be woken up by her husband, by her beloved. And today this believer is also sleeping in his grave. Tomorrow when he wakes up, he will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is his mahbub-e hakiki. Just like when the bride, she wakes up, the first thing she sees is the face of her husband, her beloved. In the same way, when the mu'min will wake up, they will be able to look and do didar of their mahbub-e hakiki of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Num ka naumatil urus. And once Rabia Basriya, she was asked that, why haven't you made your house? And she said that, Al-jar summad dar. The first I want to win over my neighbor, and then I'll make my house next to the neighbor. This is what happens in Jannah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be in Jannah. If we can win over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we can have a house next to, in the highest levels of Jannah. Sayyidina Asiya alayhi salam, the wife of Fir'aun, when she brought Iman, she made a very beautiful dua in the Quran, that's mentioned in the Quran, and she said that Rabbi bani li'indaka baytan fil Jannah. That, oh Allah, I ask you for a house in Jannah. But not just a house. I want a house in Jannah. Indaka, which is near you, which is close to you, which is next to you, which is very close to you. We can't say spatially, but which is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real thing, that a person gets this maqam of qurb, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person this ni'mah. That when a person leaves this world, they hear this voice. When Allah says, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbik. They return back to your Lord in such a state that, radiyatan mardiyah, you are pleased and Allah is pleased. And then fadkhuli fi ibadi, enter into the ranks of my servants, and wadkhuli jannati, enter into the ranks, enter into this place of Jannah. Now when a person enters, there is a whole sequence of different things that Allah will give us. So like us, first we lay down the cloth. When we have to eat some food, we lay down the dastarkhan, we put the plates, the glasses, then we bring the water or something to drink, then we bring some appetizer or some nuts, then we bring the hot foods and dishes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also lays out that order of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us in Jannah. And subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send drinks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send fruits, will give us nuts and appetizers of all different things, of all different types. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send some meat, meat of birds, in other words, poultry. So then Allah, a person might ask that, oh Allah, when we have eaten all of this food that you're mentioning in the Quran, then what will we do? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made hur. There's another arrangement for you. You will have close company, your spouses, your companions there, through which you will be able to get more comfort in a rahat. So anyway, Allah has put more of these details of Jannah in the Quran. Now when somebody invites someone to their house, there are three levels. One level is that a person would tell their servant that, okay, give him some water to drink. If it's a more respected guest, then the person will tell somebody from his own family, his brother or his son, that give him something to drink. And then the third level is when he has very beloved guest, then he himself will go and give the guest something to drink. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same way. There will be some people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make springs for them. They will drink water from those springs. That's one level. And then the second way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will be some many servants in Jannah who will be giving water to drink. But oh Allah, then there is also a third level. This is about the special lovers of Allah. Allah would say, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا تَهُورًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would give them the drink. That indeed Allah will give them. And this will be the reward for your love. That today I've accepted your struggles and your efforts. You used to yearn for me in dunya, used to do sajda to me in the dunya, used to cry for me, used to love me. This is the return for it. Allah says in the Quran that he himself would be the host. He himself would give the water to drink. So much details have been mentioned by Allah in the Quran. All of these verses are in the Quran. So a person then says that, oh Allah, after all of this, is there anything more in Jannah? And Allah says, yes, there is something more. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيد. Then we will give you even more. We'll give you mazid. Allah Ta'ala said this also in the Quran. And it comes that a person will go into Jannah and they will have every blessing, every bounty, everything that they can ever imagine. And they'll be enjoying these pleasures so much that every single desire in their heart would be fulfilled. And then they and their spouses would be just reclining on couches. They will have fruits and anything that they want. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would then send His rahmah upon them, His mercies upon them. Salamun, salamun alaykum. Allah will send His salam, His peace and grace upon them. This proclamation of congratulations from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well done. You did well in this world. Enjoy. You understood the purpose of life. You have reached your destination. You have reached your objective. Then the angels will be entering into Jannah. And what would the angels say? All of the angels would also be saying, Salamun alaykum. All the angels would also be congratulating the people of Jannah. That well done. You're successful in the world. You understood your mission. You were successful and you entered into Jannah. And then what is this mazid? It comes that a long period of time would pass by. And the people of Jannah would just be enjoying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would call them and say that, oh my servants, shall I give you that mazid? Shall I bestow upon you more? And the people of Jannah would say, Allah, can there be anything which is more than this? And he will ask that, ask for more. So what will happen is when they will go to the ulama in Jannah and say, what does this mean? What could possibly we ask for in addition to all of this that we already have? By that time, they will remember, they will remind them that don't you remember Quran? Allah says, Waladaina mazid, that after all of this, I will give you something extra, something even more, something mazid. So there's something in the mind of Allah. Just go back and tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah gave us that mazid also that you have promised in the Quran. And then the people will of Jannah, they will go back and they'll go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say, Allah, we are razi with whatever you have given us. But Allah, you have also promised us with something called mazid in the Quran, which we haven't gotten yet. So Allah, we ask you for that mazid. And Allah will say that, okay, why don't you prepare first? Just like a person prepares for their wedding. Just like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say that in order for you to get this mazid, you have to make some preparations. And this comes in a hadith. So Allah, how will we prepare? Right? You ask Allah, what's that preparation? How will this preparation happen? So Allah gives the answer. This comes in hadith that go into the gardens of Jannah. Go enter into the gardens of Jannah, and all the people of Jannah will enter into these gardens. And they'll be told to adorn themselves with however much beauty they want. They can pick whatever appearance they want, whatever clothing they want, whatever husn they want. Just like in a wedding, the women, they get up all dressed up and they wear jewelry and clothing and they can dress however they want. But a woman, she can at best change her clothes or maybe a bit about the outward appearance. She can't change her true appearance. In Jannah, a person can even change their true appearance. Whatever he or she thinks, he or she wants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them that appearance that they desire. So first they'll be told to imagine whatever they want. They will get that husn, that beauty. Whatever type of beauty or handsomeness or cuteness they want, Allah says we will give it to them. And whatever type of clothing they want, they will be granted. And whatever type of jewelry they want, they will be given. And whatever type of shades of clothing they want, Allah will give that also. The women of Jannah will be wearing such beautiful clothing. There'll be 70,000 shades of color in their clothing. 70,000 shades of color. In our rainbow, we have seven. So everyone will be asked to dress up and make their appearance, maximize their beauty, men and women. Then they will all come into a particular Jannah. This is that place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the people of Jannah to gaze upon Him, to have the ru'yat or the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this will take place at the edge of one of the rivers of Jannah. Just like today, people like to go and have a picnic at the edge of a river. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also set this up at the river bank or one of the rivers of Jannah. There'll be chairs over there. Special throne-like chairs, and everyone would be sitting on those chairs, and then there would be a feast. How would that feast take place? Ya Allah, in a hadith, Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet explained that there will come a cloud that will envelop them, and the cloud will pass by, and there'll be a whole dastarkhan in front of every person of Jannah, and on that dastarkhan there'll be 70,000 different types of food that are placed in front of them. Now imagine us, we make at the most 5, 7, 10 varieties. So iftar mein, you have 10 varieties of food. Every person in Jannah will have his or her own 70,000 varieties of food in front of them. And then the people of Jannah will eat. They won't eat out of hunger. They'll just eat for pleasure, for the taste of that food, not because they're hungry, just to get lazzat from that taste of that food. They will eat. And when they're finished eating, they will give some sort of a burp, which emits a fragrance like a musk. And just like in this world, sometimes when we eat and after we have eaten, our host, they bring another dish and we have limited space. In Jannah, there will be no limited. There will be no limits. Because they're not eating out of need or hunger. They're just eating for taste and for that pleasure. So they will eat from here, they'll eat from there, from all of those 70,000 foods, just because they want that taste. And when they eat all of that and they fully enjoy and experience all of the pleasures of the different food, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call Sidna Dawood alayhi salam and tell him to read his scripture, the Zabur. Out of all the human beings, the best melody, the melodious voice was given to Sidna Dawood alayhi salam. And people will be amazed when they listen to this recitation. And then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will recite Surah Rahman. And people will be amazed and stunned by this recitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that gathering, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill the wish of the believers and they will get the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this vision will happen in such a way that every believer in Jannah will be able to look at Allah ta'ala. They'll be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, it's just a metaphor to explain that Allah will just unveil his pindli, right? The pindli is the lower part, the feet part. And at that side, the iman, the believers, they will go in sajda. They will not be able to look at the husn of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beauty of Allah ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with the didar of his blessed face. And at that time, when this didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will happen, there will be a breeze of nur that will come. And it will put one kind of a layer on the faces of the believers. A nur, a layer of nur will come on the faces of all those believers who will be looking and gazing at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this nur will increase that husn, that beauty of the believers so much that when they will return, these believers will return back to their places, respected places in Jannah. The other creations of Jannah will look at their faces consecutively, non-stop for 70,000 years. For 70 years, they will be looking at the husn on their faces of the believers. And it comes in some riwayat that some jannati will be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once. Some will be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every year. And some will be able to look at Allah ta'ala every Friday. And there'll be some who will be able to, they'll be so special and so blessed, they'll be able to look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Every day. And then this vision will end. And the vision will end also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change his tajalli from Jamal to Jalal. Because otherwise the mu'min, they will not turn their face away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the ulama have written that then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a different shade of himself. And then the people will turn back. And this is how the didar, the gaze and the vision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that episode will end. And then the people will go back and they will continue to enjoy their blessings. So today we have time that we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mat. We should have this shock of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the month of Ramadan. Someone asked him that, they were asking him, what is the masala of the moon of Ramadan, Ramadan moon? So they were asked that, Hazrat, when will Eid be? And in that time, that person was so in love, in that state of love and muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he replied that, jab deed hogi, tab Eid hogi. That when we get to see Allah, then that will be the true Eid. And that's the hal of a mu'min. Then when we get to meet and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's true Eid for us. So this is that ni'mat that we are hopeful of. And in that hope and aspiration and expectation, we spend our entire life in this dunya. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people who can prepare for this meeting in this dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of amal salih and also people who have true and kamal tawheed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his true muhabba wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al wahab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا غفور يا رب كريم. يا الله آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بندے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما، ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما. اللہ جو گناہ دن میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، جو راتوں میں کیا ان کو معاف فرما، جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما، جو کر کے بھول گیا اللہ ان کو بھی معاف فرما. اللہ اپنی عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما، ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی یاد نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہمیں بھی اعمال و صالح کی توفیق عطا فرما، ہمیں بھی توحید کامل کا مقام عطا فرما. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر سے شرک تو کو دور فرما، اللہ شرک جلی کو دور فرما، شرک خفی کو دور فرما. یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، اپنی رحمت سے یا اللہ ہمیں بھی اس جنت کی دعوت پر لبیک کہنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اس جنت کی تیاری کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ میں آخرت کی تیاری اس دنیا میں کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اللہ اس حال میں رخصت فرما کہ آپ ہم سے راضی ہوں. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اپنی محبت نصیب فرما، اپنی ملاقات کا شوق عطا فرما، اپنے دیدار اپنے چہرے کے دیدار کی لذت نصیب فرما. اللہ اس شوق کو اور بڑھا دیجئے یا رب کریم، جس طرح آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم مانگتے تھے، اللہم انی اسألوک شوقاً الی لقائک ولذت النظر الی وجهک الکریم. یا رب کریم ہمیں بھی نظر کی لذت نصیب فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم اپنے شوق کو اور بڑھا دیجئے، اپنے عشق کی آتش کو اور بڑھا دیجئے. اللہ اپنی محبت کے اندر ہمیں رسوخ عطا فرما، محبت کے اندر شدت نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم اپنی محبت کے اندر یکسوئی عطا فرما، یکجہتی نصیب فرما، دوام عطا فرما. یا اللہ اپنی معرفت کے اندر کمال عطا فرما. اللہ اپنی معیت کے اندر ہر دم ہمیں استحضار نصیب فرما، ہمیں بھی اپنے عشاق والے بندوں کی صفات عطا فرما، اپنے محبین محبوبین بندوں کی صفات عطا فرما. اللہ اپنے دوستوں اور اولیاء کی صفات عطا فرما. یا رب کریم ہمیں بھی اپنے متقین محسنین بندوں کی صفات عطا فرما. یا رب کریم یا اللہ جیسا کہ آپ چاہتے ہیں کہ ہم بن جائیں، اللہ ویسا ہمیں بننے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم ہماری ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمتوں سے قبول فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.